If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips, them just give hypertension.
Get some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping.
What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24/7.
Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit
or start farming, because this still be hell for summer. We mine is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bruh. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell us, no?
And now, let's say good evening to Stacia Brown, Communications Officer of the Childhood Obesity Group, and of course, she's also a member of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Let's say good evening to Stacia.
Good evening, Larry, and good evening to everybody that's listening to VOB 92.9 this evening and joining us for the Healthline Show, sponsored by Heart and Stroke Foundation. And yes, I am Stacia Brown, with Communications Officer of the Childhood Obesity Program of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And the Healthline Show is a radio program that is something that we developed over a few weeks ago and has been going a couple weeks now, and it's been going really well. And tonight, our title and topic is support for at-risk youth. That is looking at the youth gym, that's Y-U-T-E, the youth gym of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And with us this evening, one of the most notable pediatricians in Barbados. She's also the clinical director of the youth gym, and that is Professor Anne St. John. Hello, Professor Anne. Yeah, I think you're on mute, Professor.
Thank you very much for that kind word of introduction.
Yes, thank you for coming on. And we also have Tion Waith. Tion is the youth coordinator for the youth gym. Tion, good evening to you, and thank you for coming on. You are on, yes. Thank you for turning on.
And thank you, Stacia. Good evening, listeners. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. And later on, we will have Felicia Goodrich. She is the fitness instructor of the youth. She's the one that helps get kids ready and healthy. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. And thank you for our listeners for coming on once again and listening to the Healthline. So we'll start the ball rolling with you, Tion. You are the coordinator of the youth gym. So I'll ask you a couple questions. Just tell me really where and what is the youth gym really and truthfully?
Stacia, just like you did during your introduction, ask anything about the youth gym. I always spell it out, Y-U-T-E. And not youth, Y-O-U-T-H. So we are the youth gym located at the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And I know normally when persons hear the word gym, the first thing that comes to mind is a place where persons go to exercise. But the youth gym is far more than that. And Professor St. John will speak a bit later about the history of the youth gym. But this program was developed over about 6 years ago to contribute to improve the health of our nation's children, to reduce the incidence of non-communicable diseases, also known as NCDs. So we do this through a holistic approach, and I know persons would have heard that this saying where it says man is a biopsychosocial being, meaning there are various ways that health is influenced. And we try to take that into account when we plan our youth gym activities. So we have a team of psychologists, nutritionists, the fitness trainer, that all encompass what your gym is all about. And on a quarterly basis, we assess the heights of the children, the weights, the body mass index, the body fat, the blood pressure. And I think we can still boast that our program is the only program of its kind on the island. So in a nutshell, basically, that is what UGYM is all about. We're not hearing you, Stacia.
You can try now. I think we're hearing you now, Stacia. Let's try.
Yes, here you go.
All right. Dear.
So that is one of the most comprehensive programs that we have in Barbados, devoted to young people and youth in Barbados. And I really like the fact that you assess the children as they go through the program, and it really gives specifics to what the children, each of them, are going through as individuals. So, Professor Ann, I'll now turn to you. Considering that Tion has given us the context for what the UGYM is, can you tell us, since you were one of the pioneers behind this program, mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about the trend that would have started the program and its establishment and its history?
Certainly. Well, I was a consultant at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital running a general outpatient pediatric clinic. And it has been noted that one in three children are overweight or obese in Barbados. This is very similar throughout the Caribbean and across the globe. And overweight, obese child, that's one NCD. However, children have a lot of other non-communicable diseases, and the complications escalate as they get older to become adults. And we know that we have a lot of high blood pressure and obesity in our population. So it appeared that there was a need to address what was happening in our children medically regarding childhood obesity and the number of students who are presenting with this condition. And so I thought it would be good to form this UGYM, which provides, in addition to physical activity training, we also have a sports nutritionist and psychologist. We have a good backup support for trying to mold the lifestyles of the students and their eating patterns into a much healthier, nutritious way of life, so that we can try to prevent some of these complications before they reach adults and they have a lot of other problems, medical and economic as well, which are associated. So it was formed about 6 years ago, and the then director of Heart and Stroke Foundation, the CEO, Gina Pitts, and myself, and the Heart and Stroke Foundation were kind enough to make the day free on Saturdays so they don't see adults there for their rehab program. So we have it on Saturdays from 8 to 12 that we can use it, the area.
Okay. So it's fully devoted. The gym is actually fully devoted to the children on Saturday mornings.
Yes.
And it's a program that really looks at their development and gives them an environment that shows them how your eating and your behavior and your lifestyle can affect your weight and your level of NCDs and obesity. So that is something that parents, I'm sure, around Barbados are definitely concerned about, or should be definitely concerned about. So thanks, Professor Ann, for giving us that background. So it's 6 years old now. I am sure things have changed and manifested in different ways since it started. We're in a different place globally and locally. So Tion, can you give us a bit of the operationalization of it? Like, what's the age of the kids that do attend, and what age groups are together, and how that works out?
We start from age 8. We have probably about 4 that would have started at 6, but generally we cater to children from age 8 to 19 years old. And the time that they come is dependent on their age. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, we have ages 10 and under. And recently we've created another group at the 8 o'clock hour for children that's 11 to 13. Then at 9 o'clock, we have children that are another group of 9 to 13 year olds. And then at 10 o'clock, we have the 14 and older. So each Saturday, once a child is given that specific time, they come for that time. And during the nutrition sessions, we usually break them up in two groups. So we will have like the 13 and younger, they would come for a particular time for the nutrition sessions. And sometimes the nutrition sessions are either theory based or practical based. So they learn to cook simple meals that they can do on their own without the parents being there to supervise. Okay. So the psychological session as well, we try to do one once every quarter. The way how the program is structured right now is like the term, the way how the school term goes, we structure the program the exact same way. So then there is Easter break, there is Christmas break and summer break and Christmas break. But since COVID has caused us to lose a lot of time in the physical environment. So then we had made a decision not to break during the summer. So we've gone right through the summer so far. So there was no break during the summer of this year.
Pretty amazing. So you really build an environment for the children to exist in all areas, psychologically, nutrition-wise, and physically. And you've adapted during the COVID-19 pandemic, which shows both.
Your audio is gone.
This is our Healthline program on VOB. We are experiencing some technical challenges. Hopefully we'll get them sorted out in a little while. I will take this time though to tell you that Healthline comes to you with the best wishes of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties and salty chips, them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell.
Good evening once again. You're joining the Healthline of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And this evening we are focused on the youth gym and looking at youth at risk. And tonight we have with us Professor Anne St. John, who is the clinical director of the program. And then we also have Tion Waith, who is the actual executioner behind the gym. And we have, who joined us a few minutes ago, Felicia Goodridge, who is the fitness instructor who helps and devotes her time to the children and putting in all the physical programs behind getting the gym under getting the gym done every Saturday morning. So we were just speaking about the gym in terms of the age ranges and how it operates within the compound of the gym and of the Heart and Stroke Foundation, and also the timeline that it works out at. So Tion, if you could tell us a little bit about how parents who obviously are concerned about their kids' health, how they can access the gym, and also the system of accessing the gym.
Member of the gym, parents need to have a referral from the pediatrician or the general practitioner. Also, if a principal, for instance, noticed that a child can benefit from our program, they can refer that parent, that child through the parent. Obviously, we still need the referral from the doctor, but the principal can notify the child's parent about the UGM, and then they can then seek to get the referral from their physician. So once I receive that referral, I make contact with the parent. The child comes in on the first day. They have an assessment done. We do the height, the weight, the body mass, the body fat, the blood pressure. And Felicia does a fitness assessment. The child is then given a sheet home, or it might be sent via email now, where for 1 week, they have to record every single thing that they eat for each meal. And that's an assessment that then goes to the nutritionist. So on their appointment to see the nutritionist, they would bring that sheet. And that's how the nutritionist then would do her assessment and make any necessary adjustments. So then we would advise the child and the parent not to write anything different. So eat as you normally do. Don't try to eat any way different just to make the sheet look better. So we advise them to eat the way you normally do so that the nutritionist can have a gauge as to where the help is needed. So once that is done and they have their nutrition assessment, that's a one-on-one with the parent and the child. And then we also cater for nutrition sessions for parents. So the parents are definitely involved. These are group sessions where all the parents come together, and there are TV sessions for parents as well.
Wow. Wow. So I am hearing that our kids, one, get to tell and write down everything they've eaten, snack-wise and main meal-wise. And also
down to water they drink also.
That's really, really important. So that tells us a lot about their system and how they're taking care of it and what is the state of their system. So, and you also get to have access to a nutritionist who really assesses everything that they've taken in within a week, which tells you a lot about their eating habits and if they're taking any fruit and varying things such as the sugar that they should or should not be having as well. That is the health end and the nutrition end of the program and how they get into the program. So now that we've talked about that and gone over that just a little, Felicia, who we've yet to hear, Felicia, can you come in a little bit and tell us about the fitness side of things, the fitness routine and the program that the kids undergo as they're part of the youth gym?
Hello, good night, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. The exercise routine is, as Tion would have said, we have three different age groups. So the exercises are structured. They're very different for each age group because each, like we have the 8 to 11, you know, they're more playful. So that exercise routine is structured a lot differently than the 8 to 10, they're now maturing. So that exercise routine is very playful. Even though everything is very goal-oriented, you need to make sure that the programming is specific to the child. If not, they're not going to enjoy it. So the idea is for them to come and learn new stuff, be able to express themselves while they're there, and they're enthusiastic about coming. The only lack of enthusiasm that we have is that they have to wake up early once again on a Saturday. But by the time they get into it, it is they're, you know, pretty much enjoying themselves. Anyone who come, the kids are having a great time. Now, that is more the structure of itself is we're trying to get the kids a lot more functional because kids don't do a lot of movement. So as we will know, especially in the COVID time, I don't think it really, even outside of COVID, kids don't do a lot of movement. So simple stuff like balancing, you know, that whole in our younger days, people go and we walk on the sidewalk. Kids can't even do that, you know, simple stuff like hopscotch and skipping. So a lot of the stuff that we do is goal-oriented. It might seem like this is something that they should be able to do, but kids really can't do these simple things. Even Dr. St. John comes in sometimes on Saturdays and uses the hula hoop, right? These are basic stuff that we would have been doing when we were younger, very, very taxing, right? So the idea is to get the kids a lot more functional and help them to train something called their motor skills. So motor skill training is the ability to walk properly. Kids usually have a lot of excessive body movement when they're walking because they don't have proper control of their body. Learning how to run again was a proper running mechanics. Pulling, pushing, hanging, you know, like monkey bars. We don't see kids doing that kind of stuff. Swimming, we have a swimming program. Also on Tuesdays and Thursday, I think that we took a break. Tion probably can mention that. That's also attached to the gym. And squatting, you know, that kind of stuff. So even though it is like goal oriented, at the end of the year, we want to have the child being able to run a mile. They should be able to do a push-up, a proper squat, be able to skip 100 skips. So the program, even though it's structured, is fluid, because remember that we're still dealing with kids who are overweight, right? Kids who would have come into the program, bullying, you know, self-esteem issues. So even though it is very structured, I am still very fluid on how I go about the programming. So I hope that, yeah. That's pretty much it for the fitness routine.
The older children, you didn't mention theirs.
The older children.
Ah, yes. Now the older kids, they have a more, they're, you know, kids when they get into 14, 15, 16, they're getting a little more mature. So the programming is somewhat similar to an adult programming, but I still have a fun element to it. And we have a lot of team sports, but due to COVID, the team games, we had to limit it because we're trying to prevent the face-to-face interaction. So the older kids, the programming is pretty similar to adults, but still a little mixed. We're still adding some games to keep the fun element of it.
Okay. So I know that you've had open, or at least a few open days, once this year so far. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Felicia, and what the children were able to do, if they were given prizes? Because I think that would be a great thing since they're goal-oriented and structured to some degree.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had an open day. And as you guys, Stacey and you all were involved. They did some sugar boarding, and that was a really cool competition, getting the kids more aware, hands-on, to see how many sugar they consume, because sometimes you're not aware, like one soft drink, how much sugar you have in one single soft drink. So that was a lot of fun. They enjoyed that thoroughly. And then also within the open day, we had a nutrition session where the nutritionist came in, taught the kids how to do different shakes. We had some obstacle courses outside, some small competitions. And at the end of that too, kids love anything that is competitive. Once it's fun competition, we had the obstacle courses outside. At the end of the day, they were able to win prizes. Well, everybody was a winner at the end of the day, but everybody. So we did have prizes that we gave the kids. So that open day was excellent. The parents were there. They were actually involved. We had a Zumba session for the parents. So I find that the parents are getting a lot more involved with the kids, and they're actually enjoying the program also.
Okay, that's wonderful to hear that the parents are getting very involved, because I know sometimes the kids go and do their own thing and they come home and they tell their parents about it. So it's good to see that it's very hands-on for them and they get to see their kids doing active exercise and being involved with children their own age. So now if we could turn to the dietary program of the U Gym. Professor Ann, is there anything you wish to share? Has it evolved since it started 6 years ago? And are there really core important things that you think are really required for the dietary program of the children for the U Gym?
Yes, unfortunately, we don't have our nutritionist, our sports nutritionist, Kimberly Rutter, present, but she plays an integral role in trying to teach the students what is healthy eating, substitutes of meals, pointing out that they need to read food labels, look at the back. And now we're trying to get front of package warning labels on food, and we are lobbying to the heaviest we can, and we're gathering support. It's going a movement through the Caribbean to have front of package warning labels on food, high sugar, high fat, and so forth. So that is very important. It is a matter of educating the children and bringing the parents in. It's a family matter. I remember that before COVID, we did have a program for parents, because the parents have two options. One is they leave the child and come back, or they sit around and wait. And those who leave the child and come back can be encouraged to stay. And then what we have is upstairs, because Heart and Stroke has two levels, while the students are getting their instruction downstairs, upstairs, the nutritionist is given a session, or the psychologist is given a session and a talk, health talk, to encourage parents to change the direction and trying to combat the childhood obesity.
Yeah, there are definite trends there that we need to change among our children and their dietary habits. And we need to make it a family thing rather than just individuals. So now that we have that background, and we know that our nutritionist is very important to the core of the program, tell me, as we confront or continue to confront the COVID-19 pandemic, how has the pandemic impacted the children? Has there been any research been done among the kids of the U Gym? Considering that school has been mainly online for the last 2 years, is there any core findings or trends that you are seeing among our children?
Well, you have hit the nail on the head. COVID has impacted everybody in almost every way, especially the children. We did a study. This is Kimberly Rutter, and I followed the children during the lockdown. We looked at their parameters before the lockdown and then 3 months later, and noted that there was decreased compliance for what they had been taught. They had gained weight. I see some students who have gained 10 pounds in 3 months when they come back to see me, because they're having a sedentary lifestyle. They're on the tablets or the computer for the hours where in the day, when during the class at school, they may walk around the school, break and lunchtime. So they're sitting. There's increased sleeping. They had an extra hour a day of sleep. They have problems with their sleeping at night because they're not tired from the day's activity. So that is an issue. Then there's depression, which has crept in. So there are that many complications associated. Would be well worthwhile. So once they came back after the lockdown, we decided that we would reinforce all the measures. And there has been some success again. Never give up.
Okay, that's true. Thank you, Professor Ann. We're going to add.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips, them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going your garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell us.
Thank you for once again joining us as we continue to discuss at-risk youth, the youth gym of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. To call into tonight's panel, you can call 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And we have with us Professor Ann St. John, who is the clinical director of the COVID-19 pandemic has had on our children. And given that we've had some lockdowns nationally, and most for the last 2 years, practically, our kids have been doing school online, it has brought a more sedentary lifestyle to the children. In some cases, they have put on as much as 10 pounds over this period. And they've also suffered from issues such as depression. So these are issues that obviously are major concerns for our parents, for our doctors, and also for the social fabric of Barbados, because it's a trend of childhood obesity where you're having 1 in 3 children who suffer from childhood obesity. This is something that's a major issue. And as Professor Ann St. John highlighted, we are doing major campaigns as a foundation where, and as the Barbados Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, where we're doing our front of package warning label campaign. I'm sure you guys should have seen the ads and heard the ads on radio. And the front of package warning label is a tool that can arm a consumer with information where they can see very easily and read very easily that a product is high in fat, high in saturated fat, high in sodium, high in sugar. And these are things that our children need to be educated about. These are things that our parents educated about so that they know when they're going shopping to the supermarket, they can be able to see very easily and not have to read the nutritional facts panel. I myself have issues trying to determine what is what on a nutritional facts panel because it can be so confusing and bewildering at times, and people need convenience. And the high-end front of package warning label gives you information and convenience all in one. And as we do roll out that program, which would have started October 14th and is running straight through to December 13th, we will be seeing more about what front of package high-end front of package warning labels are and how they impact or how they can impact the consumers. So Professor Ann, do you want to share any more about the study that was done within the youth gym of the Heart and Stroke Foundation?
Yes, we had a small cohort of students. I think it was somewhere near to 30. Originally, we had close to 80 students in the program, but with COVID and the limitation of space, we used to use the inside of the gym, which is air conditioned. So things changed. We could no longer have that. So we had to limit. Then you had a physical distancing of 6 feet. So it means that you're limited to just about 30 students nowadays. We then had to look for some space outside, and with the kind assistance, we sought the Ministry of Health's permission in the back of the Winston Scott Polyclinic. There's a parking area on Saturday where employees wouldn't park, so we could use that. And then we had the roadway down by the Children's Development Center and the Vashti Inner Center. So there's quite a bit of open air there that you could still continue your activities. Our study definitely revealed, we focused on nutrition, that students were using liquids like they used to before. It also revealed to us that in addition to being online, they were snacking more. Like when you're at school, you only have break and or lunch, but then they're sitting at a table and they get up to go to get something out of the fridge. And the teachers even complain that the students are eating and drinking during class time. So that is a habit. They're so close to the kitchen, they get up and go get some juice. So these sort of things were revealed in our questionnaire study. And we were able to use these facts to try to improve things that are happening presently with them to go going forward.
Definitely, when you're home, you have more access.
Dietary practices, that is quite so, yes. Mm-hmm,
definitely. And obviously, if I turn it to Felicia now, did you talk to the children or speak to the children about their physical activity while they've been home more than being at school? How have they reacted to that kind of encouragement in terms of being more physically active? Because I know, as you said, my generation and your generation, we were playing hopscotch, we were running, playing hide and seek, we were outside. They're using their tablets, their thumbs are getting more exercises than their legs. So how has that encouragement been taken by the children?
Children are pretty much cultured. They enjoy it. We have a group chat. They have their own group chat and we share exercises. I just allow them to be creative and express themselves. I find when you get kids involved in the process, they actually are more encouraged to do it. And it's not a case where I'm the trainer, yes, I'm the adult, but I have it as a team, right? So during the COVID period, as Dr. St. John and obviously Tion would have witnessed, parents were on board exercising. And the exercises that we would have done during the session, they did it on their own, the parent and the child, which was really, really good. At some point still, Dr. St. John, Tion were actually there working out, the nutritionist, everybody was on board. So to answer your question, the kids had, they're actually creative themselves. And they, in the group chat, they said, well, all right, well, this week we're going to do X, Y, Z. This will be from the 12 and over. The under 11s, we were more dependent on the parents to make sure that the kids would have been doing stuff like maybe jumping jacks, squats, basic stuff, sit-ups. We would have sent them short routines that they could have done at home. So I think our kids, they've been doing, they have been with us for a while now. They're supposed to go, but they don't want to go. They're still here. They're still here with us. They enjoy it. And yeah, so we send them workouts that they can do during the week.
Ah, okay. Yes, Professor Anne.
A little bit more about the program that Felicia did not mention. We have rewards and incentives for the students. We've been fortunate to have the Rotary Club of Barbados present us with Fitbits. So a few months ago, they were given Fitbits. And then there was the last mile, the time that the Rotary president was finishing, that's called the last mile. So they had a competition to see how many steps they would do in a period of time. And it was on their Fitbit. They were supposed to wear the Fitbit all the time. So we have incentives and the Fitbit is loaned to them and they wear it. And we can have various incentives and prices for them to encourage them to continue. The original plan was that they would do a 1 year in the youth gym, but some of them have been there for 3 or 4 years and they stay on, the older ones, and then they continue to be assistants to Felicia, trainers, although they're all bigger than her. she's a petite person for those who can't see her.
Yeah.
So this is something, incentives and sponsorship we've had also by some of the private companies giving some funds. We even had some sponsorship, heart and stroke, from the EU, European Union, who have become aware of our program. And we need some sponsorship and help to be able to purchase the basic things that they use for the program.
Yes, definitely. So thank you to all the sponsors and partners that the youth gym has had over the last 6 years, particularly those like the Rotary Club of Barbados and the European Union, who have given so willingly to a program that is dedicated and committed to the health of our children. It is a rare program in a small society. And it's something that I think everybody involved should be applauded with in terms of your commitment and in terms of how creative you have been, particularly during COVID, and everybody being confronted with such jarring issues and concerns as we kind of walk through this pandemic. I think you guys, the program has been able to evolve. So that's my next question, just before we go to break. Considering that the trend of childhood obesity has become so serious, it has evolved into kids developing things like type 2 diabetes, heart problems, and hypertension. How do you, particularly for someone like you, Professor Anne, how do you see you, Jim, helping Barbados to fix this major issue that we have for our kids in a very hands-on program? And how do you see it evolving and fitting in more and helping more kids as well?
Well, out front, I would like to say that there is a misconception that exercise is the key to weight loss, and exercise is for cardio fitness. Exercise is not going to cause you to lose weight in a significant way. The main thrust is looking at what you're taking in. We have to look at what is being consumed, looking at the high salt, the high sugar, the high fat and low fiber diet. So working on that, that's very important. The eating and healthy eating and wise choices practice, along with that 1 hour per day, 30 minutes to an hour of very vigorous physical activity. So walking for adults, running, skipping, simple games around the schoolyard. These things are very, very important to keep you cardiac fit. But you need to look at the portions we find, excessive portions, the type of food, the sugar, in added sugar and sugar content of the diet. And these are all working together to give you success in prevention of childhood obesity and complications in later life. As you mentioned, all those non-communicable diseases, including cancers, which are highly linked to obesity, overweight as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I like that reminder that you cannot exercise away a bad diet. So I think we will go to break now. And when we'll be back, we will be discussing more about the gym.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips. Them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch. Do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going you garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell, nah?
Take care of oneself, no? As our ad tells us. So we want this to be a family thing. We think parents and children should definitely be involved in making and helping our children to be healthier. And on the last point that Professor Anne added, as just before we went to break, and that was you cannot exercise away a bad diet. So you need to be mindful of the amount of water you are taking in every day. Water is a necessity to a good, healthy lifestyle. You have to be mindful of the amount of fats and sugars and sodium that you are intaking in your meals. And very important as well is the portion sizes that we are intaking. I know, Professor Anne, I remember when I first came to the Heart and Stroke Foundation, you always said that your portion sizes shouldn't be any bigger than your fist. And I thought that was such, I was like, wow, my hand real small. So I was like, that's a definite direction for me to make sure that my portion sizes are small. Because I know as a culture and as a people, Barbadians tend to eat larger portion sizes, and their larger portion sizes are very unhealthy food. So do you want to talk a little bit about that, Professor Anne?
Certainly. Now, you put up your fist, but your fist is not for the 2 and 3 year old, no. The fist, it's their fist. So as a guideline, in Kimberly's absence, We have a handful of protein, which is the meat, a handful of the starch, and two handfuls of the vegetables. That's how the plate should look. And for a little 2 and 3 year old, their fists are so small. But yet some parents think that they must give them, they feel they should fill the plate for them, and they must eat this portion because they feel the child is going to be hungry if they don't. We're seeing a lot of paunches and spare tires on children when they sit up, and you see these different, you can count 3 and 4 layers on their abdomen. And this is since COVID, I noticed that, especially the teenagers. Yes, and it is a lack of understanding, I think, because as you can notice that you can save a lot of money. These children cannot eat it. Even for the school meals program where they have a plate of food, a lot of their little stomachs cannot really absorb that large a volume. So a lot of the food is discarded. The parents get very frustrated. Food is going up in cost, and they're trying to serve them much larger portions than they can accommodate. And it becomes a habit. The more you stretch the stomach, the more it can take. So it becomes a habit.
Yeah. Bad eating habits are never good, and they're very difficult to reverse as well. I just want to remind our listeners that the number to call for to get to our panel is 434-1790. We welcome your calls. In the meantime, we can talk about, since we've been talking about the parents, what the parents have been doing, what the kids have been doing, what the gym has been doing as a program, we always need to bring policy into the scope, because policy is still important for setting the tone of what's necessary. And I know that the Childhood Obesity Program of the Heart and Stroke Foundation has always been advocating for school nutrition policy. And that is important in a number of ways, because it sets the tone for what is allowed within the school environment with respect to both the canteen operators and what they sell and what's on their menus. Also, what's important for our vendors, both the vendors inside the school and the school and physical environment, and then those on the outside of the physical environment. So Professor Ann, what do you think, or what do our policymakers need to really ensure is part of that school nutrition policy?
The Heart and Stroke Foundation and the Barbados Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, we've been lobbying for the banning and marketing sale of unhealthy products in around schools. Now, I know there was quite a bit of controversy about this when it started, because there was an impression that you wanted to ban vendors from schools. So what we did was, and you know, they have to earn their money. So what we've done is had a number of sessions for the vendors to educate them on what is healthy snacks and healthy choices. There are a range, for example, chips that children like to buy. There's potato chips, plantain chips, banana chips, and cassava chips. So some of them have a very high salt and a lot of sugar, but there are other products which are more healthy, and they're less, I wouldn't say that they were more costly, sometimes they're less. So we try to counsel them as when they select their wholesale purchase for selling in schools and also to the public, to choose the ones that have less salt and less sugar. And this is helping, and it's not going to stop them earning a living. So the unhealthy products around schools, for example, sell apples or grapes, bananas, things of that nature. And the drinks that they sell, looking at the boxed, what people call juices, a lot of those are just flavored drinks, and in them is up to 27 grams of sugar. So that's about 6 teaspoons of sugar in those little tiny box drinks. Another source of the sugar is the flavored milks. They contain, similarly, the flavored milk liter is like 3 servings, 3 glasses of drink. And each of those contain about 7 teaspoons of sugar. In fact, a recent talk I was attending, we showed a cake. If you look at a 9-inch cake and you look at a pet drink, which is a soda. I wouldn't call any brand name. That's equivalent. That cake, consider that you ate that cake, whole cake, when you drink that pet drink, because the pet drink has two servings and it has a whole lot of sugar in it. So these are things to educate, educate the public and the vendors, and looking at access to the foods to be equitable and sustainable. So meeting with Ministry of Agriculture, trying to promote vegetable gardens in schools and homes. And there is the Rotary South, I believe, has encouraged and sponsored a vegetable garden at the West Terrace School. And then there was also another primary school where they were having their gardens, and they teach the children to grow the vegetables, and then they have a vegetable garden at home. Because there's always a claim that vegetables are expensive and healthy eating is so expensive. However, information, if you're empowered with information that pumpkin is $2 a pound, pumpkin is a very good low calorie vegetable. Looking at cucumber, very, very low calorie, and those are often $1 or $2 a pound. So what people are eating instead of the calorie dense foods, it's very important to know. And certainly I have found that some of the students who come, when you put them on recommended meal plan, their mother starts to lose weight as well, because if everything is cooking, the child is losing weight. So is the mother, because they're eating the same kind of diet instead of what they used to do. So the school nutrition policy, I'm happy that we're moving forward, although it's still COVID and they didn't go back to face-to-face school in September, that the Ministry of Education is hand in hand with the Childhood Obesity Coalition working on this project.
Definitely. And so that is really good that we are working with the ministries that are really important to this process. We can't do it without them. At the end of the day, we're looking at changing a generational habit. And it is a massive undertaking being taken on by very strong advocates and teams that make it all happen, from the exercise side of things and the physical exercise, like what Felicia was speaking about, and how we can get the kids involved in the gym, as Tion was recommending. Tion, do you want to give us another point about how parents can get their children onto the gym if they're interested? We can't hear you, Tion.
Muted.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right. So before I mention that, I just remember, as Professor St. John was talking about the planting of food items, one of the things we did in UGym during the lockdown, we had a virtual session with the nutritionist Kimberly Rudder, where she taught the children how to grow their own vegetables at home. So parents got all the materials that was necessary for them to plant whatever it is they needed to plant. And she gave them a tour of her garden. So there was sweet peppers. Some of the children did sweet peppers. Some did carrots, tomatoes. But then the ash came, and a lot of those produce were lost in the ash. So that's something, as we go forward in the new year, that's something we will definitely look at continuing to have the children grow their own food and report to us the items and send pictures and so on of what they would have grown. And when they harvest, obviously, how they prepared it and that kind of thing. So yes. Once again, for your child to be referred to the UGym, we need to receive a referral from a physician. So that can be the general practitioner or the pediatrician. If they're in school and a principal or even the games teacher notice that this child can benefit from our program, they can have that conversation with the parent. The parent can then get a referral. They can go to the polyclinic also. We receive a lot of referrals from the polyclinic, also from the hospital and the private pediatricians as well. So it's a must for us to get a referral for the child to first enter the program.
Okay, definitely. So thank you so much, Tion. Felicia, we're now in our final 4 minutes of the program. Do you want to share anything that you think parents need to know in terms of advice, in terms of physical activity? You can hear my dog in the background barking. He wants to be part of you, Jim. Is there anything else that you want to advise parents, physical education teachers that might be aware of kids that need to be involved? What is it that can happen while we're still in online school as well? Any thoughts, Felicia?
Yeah, I want to leave a final thought with the parents. Just lead by example. You are the best role model for your children. You know, once you start it, kids usually catch on and follow on with parents. I think Tion would have touched base a bit about the games teachers and that kind of stuff. If you notice that you have a child that is not, that is not working to the curriculum at school, you know, refer them over to us at the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And, you know, we spend a little bit more time in an environment that is not so high pressure, where they could function and grow at a pace that is more comfortable to them and surrounded by other persons that are relatable to what they are going through. So that would be my closing note.
Okay, thanks so much, Felicia. And Professor Anne St. John, do you have any closing remarks for our listeners with respect to the youth gym and any advice that you want to give them?
Yes, my advice is prevention is better than cure. It's really difficult when you're presented with a child who is once and a half the amount of weight that they should be. And we need to monitor after the child is 2 and 3, we do weights, we do heights when they visit the doctor. And certainly when that eyeball that the child is getting more weight than it should, don't ignore it or accept that the child is big boned. Take the child to the doctor and get some advice. Because we really deserve better. Our children deserve better. We should put people before profits. And the marketing is very, very severe. Plays a significant role in influencing what students consume. And we're drinking ourselves and eating ourselves sick. So we don't want that to happen to our children. And our children have rights and deserve better.
Okay, thanks so much, everyone, for sharing. Thank you, Tion Wave, who is the youth coordinator of the Youth Gym of the Heart and Stroke Foundation, Ms. Felicia Goodrich, who is the fitness instructor of the Youth Gym of the Heart and Stroke Foundation, and Professor Anne St. John, who is the clinical director of the Youth Gym. And I will just remind you to join us next week at 6:30 on 92.9 on VOB, where we will be discussing school nutrition policy, creating a healthier school environment for our children. Thank you once again for joining us, and we will see you next week.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties on salty chips.
Them just give hypertension.
Got some old fashioned itch. Do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7.
Is he try on going you garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez on bread.